we're in the middle of analyzing the two answers of Tosfos to our kasha of why do we need a special pasuk to exclude or to passel an eved from edus. So we said there's Tosfos in Maseches Bava Kama that answers what? Right, so he says that we're learning Zereshava, la Me'isha, that it's coming to include which mitzvos an Eved is Chayev in, and therefore we're not going to be Mema'et an Eved from other things. That's answer number one. And then we said answer number two was with Maseches Zvachim. Somebody else?
It is just a crazy thing which I understand, so
right, and specifically, what does Tosfos say? It's not dependent on Ne'emonos. It's not dependent on whom we believe and whom we don't believe. The biggest raya is Moshe and Aaron, right? Moshe and Aaron. If you don't mind just closing that window, just for the sake of the announcements. Okay, so basically the two answers that Tosfos gives. Tosfos in Aram Masechta leaves it as a Tzarech Iyun, and those are the two answers that we find elsewhere. Okay, so yesterday I wanted to suggest that perhaps the viewpoint of Tosfos was different in where we're starting from when it comes to understanding what an Eved is. We pointed out that this might be a Machlokes, Rishonim/Achronim. It's definitely a machlokes between the Mishnah Lamelech and the Turi Eved, and it's probably or possibly a machlokes between the Rambam and the Raman, the Mukhe Yosef, and the Turi Eved. Right? So we said that the Rambam had the case of Valtakif and Valtashkis, where he says that since Avadim do generally have beards, they are included in the Isser of Lo Sashchisu Pa'as Zekoncha. I didn't say that right. Zekoncha? Zekonecha? Zekanecha, right, and the Isser of Baal Takif as well, Lo Sakifu Pa'as Roshecha? Roshcha? Roshecha? Okay, so he says there's an Isser to round off the corners of your head, as well as to destroy the corners of your beard, just as Stam, an interesting idea, the Rambam, as we mentioned yesterday, learns that both have to be done with a razor. You're not in violation of the Isser of cutting off your payas unless you cut off your payas with a razor. We obviously paskin that you're in violation of cutting off your payas, even if you cut off your payas with scissors. But nevertheless, it's interesting, you know, idea to have in terms of the sugya. So, and the Yad Ramah over there says the same thing, quoted by the Nemuke Yosef towards the end of Maseches Makos. Fine. So you have that idea. Why, even though we know that Nashim are not included in the Isser of Baal Takif and Baal Tashchis. It's the Beferish of Mishnah. If you were here two summers ago, that was the Mishnah we started off the summer with. We started off that Nashim are Pturim, Pturos from Mitzvah Saseishe Zman Grama, and we said, and they're Chayavos in all the Lo Saseishe B'Torah, except Baal Takif, Baal Tashchis, and if she's a Kohenes, Baal Tetame Lemesim. Right, she's allowed to go to cemetery, if there's a female kohen, so she's not, she has no isser for a woman who's a daughter of a kohen to go to a cemetery. Yes.
Why is that?
Don't worry about it. It's we learn that from the psukim. That's just a stam. That's just what the Mishnah says. You know, once we're dealing with Baal Takif and Baal Tashchis, we might as well throw in the last one as in the Mishnah. But I found somebody who's more easily sidetracked than me. Okay, good. So, good. It's good. It's a good meter to use in certain cases. So, the bottom line here is that the Rambam sees to include Avadim in it, even though women are excluded from it. Where on earth would he be getting this from? So, the simple explanation, says the Mishnah Lamelech, is that an Eved is a Jew. He had a Milah, he had a Tevilah, he's Jewish. He's only Chayiv in the mitzvos that women are Chayiv in, and women aren't Chayiv in these mitzvos. So what? So what? The women are Turos from this mitzvah, not because of the same sources that patu them from mitzvah aseh shezman groma. That's because that they're not included in the lashon of this pasuk. It's a separate outside patur. It's not something that is inherent in the fact, in the nature of the chi of nashim in mitzvos, and therefore nashim would also be excluded for a peripheral reason, and then therefore there's no reason to exclude avadim for that particular peripheral reason. So therefore, since avadim are viewed as Jews, they're going to be included in all the normal Jewish things, except we learn la la mi'isha, that it's going to exclude them. So we wanted to suggest that maybe that's the pshat in Tosfos in Bava Kamma, where Tosfos says la la mi'isha is including, it's including women in, it's including avadim in all of the mitzvahs that women are chayev in. It's coming to include them. So you have a kasha now. If it's coming to include them, so they're not included in edus, right? So why should they? That would be a bigger reason to passel them for edus, not to be machshir them for edus, right? Elamai must be that the starting point for avadim is that they're Jewish. What kind of Jew? Okay, so we need details in what kind of Jew they really are. But we know that they're Jewish, and once we know that they're Jewish, it's shayach to include them in the din of edus, and we're not going to exclude them just because the types of mitzvos that they're chayev in are the types of mitzvos that women are chayev in, because women technically would have also been included in edus as well, except that they have a technical ptur, just like they have a technical ptur from Baal Takif and Baal Tashchis. So therefore, Avadim don't have that technical ptur, so they would be included in edus. Elamai, the Torah comes along and tells you they're not. That could be a way to understand the Tosfos. Now, as I said at the end, we're going to show that that's not really Lefianiya's Daidi, that's not really the correct shot in Tosfos. But before we get to that, I wanted to hear what you were saying in terms of Yisrael Rav Sabalovsky learned the Tosfos just the opposite. No, that's it. No details. So I want to show how Lumaskana, I don't think Tosfos can be proven to be commenting either way. But just I don't like to start up with people who I know are much better than me. So Lefianiya's Daiti, what I just said is a valid explanation. But since again, you have to. I just saw this literally this morning, so I figured if you do name droppings, I have a name to drop. So Rav Yashiv learns this way as well, even though Lemaisa, we're not going to stick with it. But so Rav Yashiv does learn this way. He learns it in the Hemsheikh of the Tosfos. He asks an interesting kash. If you look in the Ha'aris over here, so he quotes from the Teretz. He says that the fact that Avadim are anashim and women are not anashim, that's going to be the reason that we're going to disqualify nashim but not avadim. So he says mehecha tesi that would be a reason. Meaning our whole deal in the Tosfos is to come to see why on earth would we think that avadim are kashal edus when their whole chiyuv in mitzvos is learned out from nashim who are pasul edus. So why would we think that they're kashal edus in the first place? That's goof of the deal in the Tosfos. So Elamai, he gives this teretz. He says, "Ulai yesh lomer the biur atosfos hacha hu dihine gabi iser bal takif the nashim turim." He called makom avadim chayavim bazek moshkas v'rambam. He quotes the Rambam. He doesn't quote the Mishnah Melech. He doesn't quote the Turei Even, but he does mention the Rambam and bal takif. And therefore he says there's a difference between the mitzvos of nashim and the din of nashim, meaning it says, why are women excluded from edus? Because they are nashim, not anashim, right? It says, well, amdu shnei ha'anashim. Okay, so it's a technical reason why they're not going to be kosher le'edus. But that's not part of their general chiyuv in mitzvos, and therefore, we wanted to suggest that this is a peripheral ptur, and that's why you would have thought to include avadim in kashrus later. So you can check it out. I bookmarked it over here. If you want to take a look and have it in the back, actually, I don't know why, but I found in my house I have two copies of this. I only brought one. I figured maybe I'll bring two, but I always try to like minimize how many svarim I bring to camp, just because you run out of space in the car. So if anybody wants an extra one, I might be going home tomorrow. So if I can bring it up. Just, I don't know why I ended up with two, at what point in my life it happened, but I have two ha'aris on Masechah Shavuos. Okay, so there is what to, on whom to rely to suggest that that could be the pshat in Tosfos. Okay, but the reason I don't think it's really the pshat in Tosfos is read the hemshech of the Tosfos. It doesn't seem to work out so well. Right? If you would have just stopped the Tosfos right then and there, and by the way, since our Tosfos doesn't say an answer, so if you really like that answer, say that's the pshat in Tosfos and Shavuos. Right? You can say anything you want, because he leaves it as a tzarachin, but obviously not. But the Tosfos continues and ruins everything for me, right? Because what does he say? We're not going to learn to passel in the edus. Why? The min hadin kosher le'edus. Dichsiva amdu shnei ha'anashim. He's going to be kosher le'edus because it says in the Torah, shnei ha'anashim v'hai ishu. Period. Perfect. Everything we just said, smooth sailing. Right? It says in the Torah, amdu shnei ha'anashim. He's an ish. And therefore, he's going to be chayiv. He's going to be kosher le'edus. Great. That proves exactly what we're saying. He holds like the Mishnah Lamelech, that he's chayev in mitzvos, he's a Jew, and therefore the default position is he's kosher for whatever a Jew is kosher for. Now, Tosfos ruins everything. Ve'oved kochavim, and a goy, afal gav de'ishu, mikol makom ein achiv. Even though, you're right, a goy is an ish, and should therefore what? He should be kosher le'edus also. But it says what? In the Torah, what does it say? Right? Achiv, kashazam lasos la'achiv, and he's not achiv. He's not achiv. And l'kol ha'pachos, an eved is achiv b'mitzvos. So therefore we'll need a different pasuk to disqualify an eved. Right, Aval Eved Shu Ish V'Achiv B'Mitzvos List Kasher. I would have thought that he would be Kasher Le'edus. So you see right away why that ruins everything, right? Because now we're saying who's Kasher Le'edus? What's the original Svara Chitzona? Who's Kasher Le'edus? Who's Kasher Le'edus? Before we have no Torah. We just need to know. I mean, we're assuming what every human is Kasher Le'edus. Every human, and maybe even Coco the monkey. I don't know. You ever heard of Coco the monkey? I don't know. In psych books, I was a psych major in college. So in psychology, they taught Coco the monkey how to do sign language. Okay, so if you could do sign language already, you know, if you could stand up to Drisha V'Chakira, you could be Kasher Le'edus. Okay, so every human being is Kasher Le'edus. Jew, goy, man, woman, it's all good. So now, throws the whole thing out the window, right? You no longer have to assume that what? That an Eved is a Jew in order to be Matzrich a Pasuk to be Mamayin and from Eidus. You hear? So, okay, so in Mela, you then say that, well, he is Chayiv and Mitzvah. So you say, everyone's Kasher Le'edus. Everyone on earth is Kasher Le'edus. So is he Jewish? Doesn't have to be Jewish because he's Achiv b'mitzvos. He could be a guy who's chayiv in certain mitzvahs. Meaning that is exactly what who says? Turei Evan says an eved is a guy with some chiyuvim of mitzvahs. And therefore, there could have been a havamina that he would be kosher le'edus because he's got all the criteria. He's alive. He is a man. He is achiv b'mitzvos. So he should be He should be kosher le'edus, kamash malan, lo yum su'av asabonim. Right? So, again, a technical psul that he has no yichus. You hear? So that's what ruins it, and I don't think you can really say that the pshat is that our Tosfos assumes like the Mishnah Lamelech. I don't think he's commenting either way. I think he's saying something much more about Eidus than he is about the status of an Eved. Yeah. Right, right. And we'll get back to that shortly. Okay? I think you're saying absolutely the correct shot. Okay. So I'm on the wrong page, sorry. So another possibility in terms of learning it, since I don't think that's what we're gonna be told of the different Deos and Tosfos on. But perhaps you could suggest that Tosfos and Bava Kamma is saying, what's the underlying reason why we accept somebody for Eidus? What's the underlying reason? I don't think it's that he's not puzzled. I think it's that he's an ish. Meaning, what do you really have to be an aid? You have to be an ish. An isha is puzzled Eidus because she's not an ish. And that's, in other words, there's a hierarchy of psulim when it comes to Eidus. The number one, in other words, everybody, don't get bogged down in this language because we might change up the language later. But an Isha is not Bechlal Eidus because she's not an Ish. Whereas everyone else whose puzzle is a technical psul. What do you need to be an Eid? You need to be an Ish. Right. Now, which anashim are kosher le'edus? What we say, can't be a goy because he's not achiv. Can't be an eved because he doesn't have yichus. Okay, so everybody else. So what's the difference? What do you think is the difference between ish versus the other psulim? What? Why? I'm saying, why can't you just say, no, you're making that up. The psul of ish is also a technical psul. The psul of ev is a technical psul. The psul of guy is a technical psul. What's wrong with that? Why can't they all be technical and equally technical? Why can't we say what I said before, that everyone on earth is kosher le'edus, and just we exclude women, we exclude avadim, we exclude goyim? What? Ah, hold off on that, because that'll be coming up shortly. But before we get to that, I think there's a very simple reason. Okay, who's being discussed in the pasuk of Va'amdu Shnei HaNashim? The Gemara goes on and talks about Va'amdu Shnei HaNashim being the source of everything, right? All these dinim benogea to what? Who are we talking about? Va'amdu Shnei HaNashim. Eidim. So, now if I have to ask you, when the Torah says Eidim, what does the Torah call them? Anashim. The definition of Eidim in the Torah is Anashim. That doesn't sound technical at all. That sounds like what it is. You understand? Anashim is the definition of Eidim. Va'amdu shnei ha'anashim. So if you're not an ish, you're not an aid. Ah, if you're a goy, you're not an aid either? Yeah, you're a puzzle aid. You were in the parsha, and we got you off on a technicality. But Nashim are not excluded on a technicality. Nashim are excluded completely because they're not in the major criteria. The number one criteria for being an aid is you have to be called an ish. Because the pasuk that talks about it says, Amdu Shnei HaNashim. That's the definition of aid. Lo Yumsu Avos Al Banim? Is that even talking about aidim? Like, I mean, we say, yeah, but it's not the definition of aidim. Right? Kasha Zamam, that's a din within Eidus. That's not the definition of Eidim. Right? Amdu Shnei HaAnashim, that's what we call the Eidim. We call them Anashim. So therefore, you could say that Nashim are completely out of the Parsha. Goyim, in the Parsha, but disqualified for a technical reason. Avadim, same thing. In the Parsha, but disqualified for a technical reason. So the definition of Eidim, according to Tosfos and Bava Kamma, is Anashim. So they're still Anashim, so therefore we're never going to learn for La, which is coming to include them in Mitzvos Ke'isha. We're never going to learn that they're excluded from Eidus because they are Taka Anashim. That's Tosfos in Bava Kama, and you could say Tosfos in Zvachim does not learn that way. Tosfos in Zvachim does not learn that way. Tosfos in Zvachim says, what's the Iker Koveya for Eidus? What's the Iker Koveya for Eidus? Lack of psul, or you could say that our starting point was going to be Nemanus. Our starting point was going to be Nemanus. Right? We assume anyone we can trust is an aid. So, can we trust women? Sure, we can trust women. But then we disqualify them. Can we trust Avadim? Can we trust Goyim? Yeah, if they're trustworthy. But then we disqualify them. So Tosfos throws up their hands and says, we know it isn't Nemanus. We thought it was Nemanus. And we said, okay, who should have Nemanus? Everyone who's trustworthy. And then we said, well, Moshe and Aaron are extremely trustworthy and we don't accept them. So it can't be based on Nemanus. It just has to be, something. Whoever gets disqualified, whoever doesn't get disqualified. But it doesn't seem like Tosfos is stressing one type of disqualification over another. He's just saying that in the end of the day, we don't know what the criteria is. We start, and I think based on that, you could also just say that there's really no machlokis at all between the two Tosfos. It's not, we started off by saying that min ha-kotze el ha-kotze, they're arguing about the status of an Eved. What's an Eved all about? Maybe not. They might not be arguing about that at all. And then you could say they're arguing about what's the definition of being koveya and aid kusher. Maybe not. It's quite possible that at the end of the day, they both agree, and there's just two different approaches to saying the same thing, which is we don't know what's the criteria for aidus. We don't know what aidus is all about, and therefore we just don't know. We can't tell you, and we just have to rely on the psukim. And we're not going to be medame milsa la milsa when we don't know what any of those things are based on. Tosfos over here says, well, we know they have to be anashim, and we know they have to be, but we don't know why someone's kosher and why someone's pasul. So that it's not necessarily a fundamental machlokes between the two Tosfos. It could just be where they're starting from in terms of how they learn it. But it's not, they're not really necessarily arguing on anything. It could be that they're both just throwing up their hands and saying, we don't know what any of this is based on. We don't understand why some Eidim are kosher and some Eidim are pasul. Outside of, let's say, a Rasha or a person who's not trustworthy or something like that. That, we could all agree, is somebody who can't be an aid, in a court of law. But we can't say why this type of person or that type of person should be excluded from aidus because we don't understand the whole thing in the first place. It could be that they're both saying the same thing. Okay, that's all pretty much what I wanted to say. What I say about that. Okay, let's move on a little bit to something else. So we're talking about who is going to be chayiv in Shavuos Eidus, who's going to be pater in Shavuos Eidus. So we had, I meant to read the Ramban inside. So we listed off Anashim, Velo Benashim, etc., etc. And the Ramban asks a very simple question. What's the Ramban's question? Everybody know where mine is? Right, just say the simplest and shortest and easiest way to learn, which says that the only time we have Shavuos Eidus is when the person is worthy of testifying. Right? So that's easy enough. Right. That would have saved us a few Mishnahs, no? Yeah. Oh, Ramban says, I'll read it inside. Why didn't we just say that Shavuos Eidus is with those who are worthy of testifying? So says the Ramban, Milsa agav urche kamash malon. We're coming to teach us something on the side. The cave on the parit nashim parit nami lechol she'ena ru'uyin lahoid. Once we singled out women as people who are not worthy of testifying, we then discussed everybody. The correct way to learn the Mishnah should have been Shavuos Eidus is knowing by those who are worthy of testifying. Alright, so stop there for a second. So that's teaching us that that women are pasleid is something we wouldn't have known on our own. L'man damer lasip suli derabbanan mishim hachilu parit luhu. You know, according to the other mandamer, that it's coming to include all those who are pasleidus mid the rabbanim. That's why the Torah, the Mishnah listed them all off. The itan astam elaburuyin lahayit avamina davka b'psulei d'oraisa. Fine. So that's another possibility, that it wasn't just coming to exclude women; it's coming to exclude psulim mid the rabbanim. Okay, that we'll hopefully get back to at some point. V'shamina mimasnisa. We learn from our Mishnah, the isha in a ksheira ladun. A woman is not kosher to be a judge. She's not kosher to be a dayan. The keva, the psula lahayid, psula ladun, kiditnan, kola kosher, ladun, kosher lahayid. We have a Mishnah which says anyone is kosher to be dan is also kosher to be an aid. Uklal gadol, hu ulameidin mimenu. And this is an important rule that we should learn from. V'cheinam rabbi Yerushalmi, she'ena isha me'ida, Ve'ena isha dana. Umay dichsiv. Wait a minute. And all the Rishonim ask this kasha. Wait a second. Devora. May dichsiv v'hi shofeta says Yisrael. It says, right? If the longest haftorah of the, longest haftorah of the year, I think. Right? Shabbos Shira. It's really long. Well, you got another long one? Depends how fast you lay in the Tisha B'av one, I guess. But I think it might be Psukim-wise for Ashkenazim, the longest one. Sephardim, every Haftorah, you always want to be Sephardi or Chabad. You know, you always notice that they have like a quarter of the Haftorah. And then, you know, and everybody, we have to lame it. So the Sephardim, they start from Shiras Devorah. They start from after the whole Maisa with Yael and Sisera, they start from there. But we read the whole story, then we read the Shira. So, okay. We want to see that we're very into learning Navi. So that must be why. Or maybe because maybe they're more into learning Navi, so they already know the story, so that's why they have to... it's kasha. But either way, it says in the Navi that Devorah was Shofetes Es Yisrael. Perusho Menaheges. She was the leader. Sha'al Piha Uva'atsasa Hayinoagin Ze Imze Kidin Malka. Right? So he says, not that she was a dayan. She wasn't a judge of the type of judges who sit on a beisdin. She wasn't a member of the Sanhedrin. She was a leader. She was a political leader. She was, she would give advice. She gave etzah. She gave, maybe we'll see, psak halacha. She gave certain ideas, but she was not a classic judge. She wasn't didn't sit on a beisdin and give psak. Right? Who were, we know certain people are not allowed to be on the Sanhedrin, right? Who is probably the biggest name in Tanoim or pre-Tanoim who would not have been allowed to sit on the Sanhedrin? Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well, right? Shmaya Vavtayim with the Gedolei Hador, they're called that by no less than their big Talmud Hillel, right? And he said when Hillel ripped into, that's the in Pesachim, when Hillel ripped into the people in Eretz Yisrael for not knowing the halacha of Erev Pesach Shechal Liyos B'Shabbos, so not about how you split up the Shalashudas, about actually how you bring the Korban Pesach, but they didn't know the din, and they said, why don't you know the din? Because you guys weren't Mishamesh the Gedolei Hador Shmaya Vavtayim, and I was, right? Hillel gave him a hard time, and then Hillel forgot some very basic, you know that Gemara? Hillel then, right after the fact, forgot a very basic halacha, and then he realized maybe I should take it easy on people and not, I don't know if that was why, but Hillel very, very much learned his lesson and was extremely patient with people and extremely humble and lived happily ever after. So, but he refers to Shmaya and Avtalin as the Gedolei Hador, but they could not have been on a Beis Din because they were Geirim. They were Geirim. They could not have sat on the Sanhedrin. So, okay, but you're going to tell me if Shmaya and Avtalin tell you the halacha is X, and someone on the Sanhedrin, who I'm sure was a very big Talmud Chacham, also says the halacha is Y. It's not poshut that you're automatically going to listen to the other guy. Or Shmaya and Avtalin tell you, I think this is a very good idea, you should do it. I think you're going to take them very seriously, even though they're not officially on the Sanhedrin. Well, you would hope that they would only do so when it was within the system of.
I mean, because like I've heard quote before that in theory, if the senator said that it's not going to be to be done, it'd be fine, assuming they all agree to it. Is that okay?
The question is, why do they agree to things and why do they disagree to things? If they think that that's really what the Torah says, okay, so that's what they say. But if they don't think that that's really what the Torah says, so they're not going to say it, I hope. I'm guessing that, the goal, listen, whether or not human beings are capable of real objectivity, you could debate it, I don't know. But L'maisa, I think that they're going to try to be as objective as humanly possible. So okay, L'maisa, at the end of the day, the way they darshan the psukim was that they couldn't be on the Sanhedrin, but that doesn't mean they weren't great Torah leaders and Jewish leaders, and so too, Devorah, she wasn't an official judge, but that doesn't mean she wasn't a great Jewish leader. So says the Ramban. So you avoided one halachic problem, but you have a separate halachic problem, which is, Som tasim alecha melech v'lo malka. Right? So there is no concept of a Jewish queen. There's no concept of Jewish queen. Right? Who's our Jewish queen? Yes. Esther Amalka, right? She was not a Jewish, she was Jewish and she was a queen. But she was not a Jewish queen.
I mean, we're kind of looking at Izeva.
Right, well, Izeva was quite the great example for all. Right? I think in secular circles, when they want to insult a woman, they refer to her as a Jezebel, right? So Izebel was she was certainly a person who abused her power and murdered many people and did all kinds of horrible things. But nevertheless, she didn't have a halachic status as a queen. The Torah doesn't recognize the halachic status of a queen. And therefore, we have in the Gemara, we have Hilani Amalka, who, was a very frum person and did, right, the Gemara in the beginning of Sukkah, Kol Ma'asel Lo'asel Al-Pi HaChachamim, right? So she was very, we could bring rayas from what she did to halacha, because we know that she wouldn't do anything if it wasn't the correct halacha. So okay, but in the end of the day, that's not a Din Malka. She was under Roman rule. I don't think she was really the actual queen of the Jews. I'm not really sure what her story was. But Maisa, it says in the Torah, Som Tasim Alecha Melech, and the Gemara Darshan, and Sifrei Darshan's Velo Malka. So he says, no, so what? Noag in Ayuba Kidin Malka. So says the Ramban, they treated her like a queen. It doesn't mean you're not officially allowed to listen to a woman. You're allowed to listen to whomever you wish. Especially if she knows what she's talking about, which Devorah did. So therefore, they chose to follow her hadracha as if she was their queen. But that doesn't mean that if you went against her, you were doing something officially wrong. If the melech tells you to do something and you don't listen, you're morid b'malchus. If Devorah would tell you to do something and you don't listen, you're not morid b'malchus, you're just, probably not so smart. You should listen. So therefore, and he quotes in the footnote here from the Chedush Aran that it just means velo minu osa. There was never a minui. There was never an official appointment there was never an official appointment of power. She just, everybody understood. If you want some, smart guidance and smart advice and good, whatever she was providing, go to Devorah. If you don't want to be led by a smart person, go to somebody else. Yeah. I mean, probably. I don't know what they are. He doesn't bring any. That's the problem. The Ramban doesn't. This is the Rishonim. As we see, the Rishonim sort of struggle with this because they don't know. They're trying to understand how there could be, a pasuk, which seemingly it tells you that all these Gemaras that we have are not lahalacha. So, did they hold differently? He says no, they didn't hold differently. It just meant. She was the judge. She was the one they went to for justice, truth, justice, and the Jewish way. So that was their, that was what they did. But don't take it so seriously, like it was a halachic statement that she was the Rosh, she was the Av Beis Din of the Sanhedrin, and she, gave all the Piskei Halacha, etc.
Is there any difference between her being like
a Malka
versus being
a Kalimah? Yeah, well, it, so again, in the Chedush Aran, He says it's all the only. There has to be a minui, meaning if you would, there would have to be an official. What do they call it?
Coronation,
right? With the, you take the Shemen HaMishcha, whatever, and you officially anoint her as the leader of the queen of the Jewish people. So that would be what was usher. But you know, just to say like, no, you're our leader, and we're gonna come to you for, you know, for these types of things. And when you say something, we'll try to listen, or we will listen. That's not forbidden. Right, but then because the Ramban's second answer is very similar to the first answer, right? Is inami mekablin hayudvarel birtzonam, they willingly accepted her statements. Well, what's the difference between the first and the second? So the first one, it seems like that. First, before I say what it seems like, I'll just read you what the footnote here. Who does the footnotes on this? Rav Eliyahu Lichtenstein. He does also the. I think he does the Ritva on this Masechta also, and. Does an excellent job on both. So he writes in the, he quotes the Chiddush Aran in the footnote here, and he writes, Divrei Rabbeinu Einam Brurim, right? It's not so clear. What's the difference between the first answer and the second answer? So he says, V'inami shofetes v'dana shayim mekablin osa kiderech sha'adam mekabel echad min hakrovim. So says the Ran, the same way you can have, let's say your uncle is the Rosh HaSanhedrin, right? So you're not officially allowed to go to his court. But, you know, if you have a Shiloh or you have a court case and you say, listen, my uncle's a Rosh HaSanhedrin, we should probably go to him. So, well, technically it's possible. You're not allowed to do that. So, but still, we accept it the same way. So Devorah was possible. She was not allowed to be a Dayan. But you can go to her and just accept what she says. Not in any position of power, not that she was the unofficial queen, just she wasn't appointed as queen. It was understood. She's not allowed to do this. Officially. Unofficially? Who wouldn't want to do the right thing? So, V'nire shezu gam kavanasa tosvos, right? He quotes Tosvos in Shavuos Eidos, that it's Divramasva Shavuos Eidos, not Tosvos in Shavuos Eidos. It's Tosvos right before Shavuos Eidos, so he wants to say maybe that's the shot in Tosvos as well. Right? And we'll get back to this momentarily, but I just wanted to see the whole Ramban. Really, we're only going to deal with the first part of the Ramban now, although this was a very, you know, interesting point to discuss, and we'll get back to it soon. Okay, but the first part of the Ramban says that, what are we learning from our Mishnah? The whole point of listing off all the psulim in the Mishnah was just to teach us women are pasul eidos. And that's what the Gemara starts off with. How do we know women are pasul eidos? V'am d'shnei anashim. Right, and we say that women are pasul eidos because they are not anashim. Okay, so there is the Tosfos Rabbi Akiva Eger, and I don't know if anybody got a chance to see it. I put the Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eger on the page. That's the longer version of this, but he adds a couple of interesting points, and he points out that I got the wrong sefer. I'm really good at this. So he adds a little bit here, but. If you want to see the shortest and most concise version of the statement, so if you have the fancy blue Chiddush Rabbi Akiva Eger, so this publishing company, what they do is they, if you would own all of them, you would have a full set of Rabbi Akiva Eger many, many times over, because they take any comments of Rabbi Akiva Eger, whether it's his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, it's commentary on Shas, the Tosfos on the Mishnayos, whatever it is, and they put them all together al pi seder hadaf of the whatever masechta they're writing about at the time. So it's a very helpful sefer to have. Sometimes a little bit of overkill, you'll see the same thing repeated and repeated and repeated. Okay, you can choose to read it or not read it, as the case may be. But here he gives you the Tosfos and the Mishnayos. I'll just read you this little part, because he's saying, Rabbi Akiva Eger asks a very simple kasha. He says, you never heard of something called Eidus Isha? Right, and Isha is ksheir to come to Beis Din and to say my husband is dead. Right, and not only that, it could even be, you know, it could even be that she didn't see it for herself. She just knows that that's the case. Right, she can come to Beis Din and say that you're allowed to, that I heard that this very reliable person told me that this very reliable person told me that my husband is dead. And she could remarry based on that?
So,
what?
No,
same thing. If she saw it herself, it's probably a little bit better. She saw it herself. She's not quoting anybody else. She said, I know for a fact that he's dead. She's believed. So she's allowed to remarry based on that, and arguably an even bigger chiddush. I don't know if it's a bigger chiddush, but she's allowed to do yibum based on that. She's allowed to do yibum based on that. We're very strict with when we allow people to do yibum. And she's allowed to, if she died, if the husband died without any children, then we allow her to marry her brother-in-law based on her own statement that her husband died. And we have this in our, perek on Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, the Gemara, right? I know it was not an easy Gemara to go through. But I felt it was worthwhile to go through the whole piece, even though technically for our purposes today, we only needed this little part at the end, but I thought it was very worthwhile to go through the whole piece just to get the feel of the flow of the Gemara, right? I don't know if you agree or disagree, but so if you disagree, I'm sorry, but I could have queued it up better to the good parts, you know, but I think it's very worthwhile. In general, listen, it's not a problem you can solve, but I'm sure you've noticed this for yourselves over, you know, over the years, but eino dome looking up a Gemara. You see Tosos quotes a Gemara and you look it up, so you understand, okay, you understand Tosos, but you cannot, ain't no dome looking up a Gemara to Tosos quoting a Gemara that you already know, right? It's a different experience altogether, right? When Tosos quotes a Gemara you know, I'd say, I don't want to say, I'd say 80% of the time you're already mechaved to Tosos' answer. Tosos says, ah, what about that Gemara? You know the Gemara, so you say, no, that Gemara is different. And then Tosos says, you know, it's different because, you know, exactly what you said. So when you're looking up the Gemara, you don't have the same chush, you know, you don't feel the flow of the Gemara as well. So you don't really understand the question as well. You don't understand the teretz as well. It's just the way it is. So it's always good if you can see the whole Gemara to know where this part comes up. It's a little bit better. It's a little bit more of a, you know, meaningful experience. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara was discussing when you are chayev and when you're not chayev shvua, right? So, where are we going to start from? Right, we said akol modim be'ed misa shu chayev, akol modim be'ed misa shu pater. Kol modim be'ed misa shu chayev shu pater. Sorry, the amar la lidida v'lo amar la luhu lebezdin. Right? Why? When is the eid misa pater from shu seidus or from carbon shvua, whatever it is? Right? Why, when is he potter? When he told it to her, but he didn't come and deny it in court. Why? What's the reason for that? Because now... Right. Right. So he says, the Tanana Isha She'amra Meis Baili Tinasei right, Meis Baili Tisyabe. Not only could she get remarried, but she could also do Yibam. Akol Modim Be'ed Misa Shu Chayiv. When is Eid Misa going to be Chayiv? Delo Amar Lidida Velo Amar Lehu LeBeis Din. He refused to tell it to her. He refused to tell it in Beis Din. Right, so we see there that, but for our purposes, this is a good example of when we do accept the Eidus of an Isha, Ad Kenekach, we allow her to do Yibam, we allow her to remarry, and this is seemingly indicative that eight Nashim are not completely Pasul Eidus. So comes along Rabbi Kiva Eger and asks that Kasha. He says, after Amin Besugya Nakomo, Debede Misa, Dechayiv. Everyone agrees that Eide Misa are Chayiv, Kevon Sheh Minu Chazal Eid Echad, Loha Eid Shemez Baila. Meaning, one eight comes to court and says, and the woman pulls the guy into court and schleps him in by his ear and says, tell them what you know. And the guy says, I don't know anything. And then he swears, and then he feels so guilty, he comes back and he admits it. Now he has to bring the korban. Now he's, you know, he... So this guy, why is he chayav a korban shvua? Because had he testified, we would have accepted his testimony. What about the Isha? If she would have testified, would we have accepted her testimony? Absolutely, yes. So if she would have testified, we would have also accepted her. So why is she any different? So she's not completely pasul eidus either. What?
Why would you have accepted her testimony?
We said that that's what the Chachamim allow. They allow a woman to come and say that her husband died. Meaning, if she comes and says the exact words that that guy would have said, then she would have also been accepted.
If she contradicts it,
If somebody contradicts it, it's a different story. But let's assume you have one aide. He comes and he says, I was with my good buddy and Nebuch, he drowned or he died or whatever it is, and he's dead. You can remarry. Right? He comes and testifies. We accept it. Ad kedei kach, that if he would deny it, we'd be mechayev him a carbon shvua. So an Isha can do the same thing. Even about her own husband. Okay, so we're not going to be mechayev or carbon shvua in every case. We should at least be mechayev or carbon shvua in this case. And yet the Mishnah obviously holds not that way. Mishnah holds that she's never going to be chayev. Okay, so says imke mishkachas la, right? She was edus gam nashim. Daha gam ne'emonis lahoid shemeis baila. She should be chayev. She was edus in such a case. Tzarich lomar kevon de bekrok siv vihu aid. Since the Torah says vihu aid, right? Remember yesterday we mentioned Rashi. Rashi stresses that pasuk, vihu aid. He is a witness. We call him an aid. Sheyia ra'ui le'edus. Person has to be fitting for edus. V'isha lav shame edus Allah. A woman does not have a shame edus upon her. The aftanem menes. Meis Baila, even though she's believed to say that her husband died, Hainu mikoach daika uminsava muchach deshapir meida avolo midin edus. She is not believed because of her testimony. She's believed because we trust her as a person. Now, this is I have a sefer here that I don't even remember the name of it, but he has like long diukim in different shitos. So he was trying to show how Rabbi Kiva Eger's approach might be different than other achronim's approach. I'm not sure, but you find this statement in many achronim. You find it in the Shev Shmaitza. You see it in the the son of the Noda Bihuda, and he's explaining that that's a shita of the Noda Bihuda as well. The question is, what exactly are we saying is the reason we accept women, right? I don't know. I don't know whether or not these achronim argue on each other. They don't argue on each other exactly. But the pashup shot in this little piece in Rabbi Kiva Eger is that we're not accepting her b'toras edus. We're accepting her as a very valid umdana, or an excellent proof, sort of like DNA evidence, like when they had a... You know, when they have, unfortunately, from time to time, when there's a terrorist attack, and certainly it was very big in September 11th when they had to be makabel, you know, edus, or they had to find out who was allowed to remarry, who was not allowed to remarry, for people who died in the Twin Towers. So there was they used DNA evidence to try to prove it. That's assuming, like this Rabbi Kiva Eger, that's assuming that why do we believe a woman? Because Isha Daiko Minsava. That's not a din edus. Because if you really required edus, then you have yourself a problem. DNA can't talk, right? It does provide excellent proof, but it doesn't speak, and it doesn't have a din edus for sure, right? There's no hagadas edus of DNA. But if you assume that the edus isha, they're accepting her because we have this tremendous umdana that she's telling the truth, so we're accepting her either because we know that she's not going to want to put herself in a position where all of her future children are going to be mamzerim and she's violating an isur arayos every day of her life, etc. Right? We don't want to do any of this. So we assume that what she's saying is factually correct. And she looked into it and she would not be just making some, you know, frivolous statement about the fact that her husband died. And then he says, so why then do we care? So why do we believe the Eid Echad then? For the same reason, no? We believe the Eid Echad because he's also going to be very careful. He knows what he's doing. He knows that this has very, very serious ramifications. I'll just give you an example, right? You guys learn Ksuvis? So what's the opening daf in Ksuvis discusses what? The guy comes to... We want the guy to run to Beis Din and say that his wife was not a Besula. And Tosos asks the Kasha, they say, Mabakach, who cares? He's going to run the Bezin. They're going to say that, okay, she's not a Basula. Go home. Live happily ever after with your wife. Why? Because there's a Sveik Sveika. There's a Sveik Sveika. Right? You guys, how many, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Well, don't worry what the Sveik Sveika is. Okay? Don't worry what the Sveik Sveika is. Basically, what we're saying is, if the guy runs the Bezin and he says, my wife is not a Basula, we say, okay, but you should still be a good husband and live happily ever after with her. Okay, go home. So the Gemara, so Tosfos gives the weirdest teretz. Tosfos says, no, because if in one of two possibilities it wouldn't be a Sveik Sveika, then it would be okay. Now, what are those one or two possibilities? Either the guy's a Kohen, or he married her, he did Erusin when she was less than 3 years old. Those are the two possibilities that would not be a Sveik Sveika. And therefore they made a low plug for every single Jewish marriage to take place on Wednesday. So the guy would run to Beis Din in case he's a Kohen or he married her when she was less than three. Okay. I'm not very good at math, but what's the percentage of the Jewish population that are Kohanim? Any point. Make one up.
20%.
Really? You go to a shul and there's 10 people, there are two Kohanim?
I was at 7%.
Maybe in Nov. Pre-shul.
It really depends on where you are.
Right. I don't know. I mean, I would have thought it was less. Let's say
it's like nowadays it's around 10%.
Okay, let's say 10%. Okay, I'm comfortable saying 10%. What? 5%? I'm comfortable with 5%. I'm comfortable with 10. I don't know 20%. But post Cheira Egel, maybe, right? Post, not really, because there's so few Kohanim. But,
published by a Shady when Egel's not converted.
Right. So, there were definitely certain times Shevet Levi has that, you know, has that zechus that they stick to the Torah when other people go astray. So maybe their percentage is a little higher than it should be over the years. But in the end of the day, Kohanim, let's say Kohanim around 10%. Now, how many people get married to a girl who's less than 3 years old? What? It's usher to do, but you could do it. If the father's mekabel kedushin, now I'm assuming the nesuin was much later, but the point is that if she wasn't a besula, it had to have happened during the time that she was already married to him. That was the whole point of it, right? So, okay, what's my point in all this? It's a small percentage. And yet, Tosfos suggests that there is a low plug that every Jew has to get married because of this 10-point-something% of the population. Normally, isn't it the opposite? That they make a takana which is shayach to 75%, 85%, 95% of the population, and it doesn't happen to be shayach to you, but too bad, low plug, we'll throw it in, you have to do it too. You know what I'm talking about? That's what a low plug normally is, not the other way around. Making a low plug for all of Klal Yisrael because of this tiny percentage? That's weird. Right? So, similar kasha you could ask on that Gemara is Rashi says that why does he go to Beis Din? Because there will be a kol, and then Edom will come. Edom aren't coming. Right? He says, Znus lo shchiyah. That's Tosfos asked that kasha later on. Right? Where are the Edom going to come from? Edom, if they would have known something, they would have come already. They're going to be there. There's going to be a call that, oh, the Beis Din is judging a case of a woman who wasn't a Basula. So some macher who happens to hang out around the Beis Din, right? No, nothing changed in Judaism for the last, some guy with 15 walkies and 10 sets of keys is hanging out around the outside. He's tweeting on Vosses Nias or whatever. And like a guy came to Beis Din claiming his wife wasn't a Basula. And then like two guys who read Vosses Nias in the comment section over there are going to be sitting there like, oh, that's what that was 6 months ago when we warned that girl. I wonder if it's the same girl. And they're going to run to Beis Din, right? So imagine now if there was no texting and there was no posting and there was no nothing. It was just like whatever the word on the street was. So they're not coming. Nobody's coming. So So that's Laisa. That's one answer in Tosfos. Tosfos says about that Rashi, says Nuslo Shchiach. He asked the Kasha in the Gemara based on the Gemara and getting Znus is not Shchiach, right? So he says, yeah, it's not Shchiach. There's going to be Znus with Edim. There's Znus. Unfortunately, Znus is Shchiach, but it's not so Shchiach that there's going to be with Edim and Asra. Like if a woman wants to cheat on her husband, she might have second thoughts at least at that moment if there are Edim and Asra, right? She's still going to be Mezaneh if there's Edim and Asra. Hard to believe. That's answer number one. But answer number two in Tosfos answers all these kashas, right? Answer number two in Tosfos is it's different here. Why? Because they're going to be living together be'isser every day of their lives. So we're not just talking about a one-time isser. We're talking about an ongoing process of isser that starts the day you get married and ends the day one of you dies. For that, we'll make wild takanas. Will say maybe, you know, and that answers the low plug shaila, that answers the kasha against Rashi, why the Edom, let's say they might come, you know? Again, Tosfos says, we'll make a low plug in the wrong direction if it's going to be something which will prevent an ongoing violation of Isser for your entire life. And yet, im kol zeh, we're matir, this woman to remarry based on this testimony. A testimony of herself, another woman, testimony of an Eid Echad. Because we assume that people will not want to live their entire lives be'isser and have all their children be mamzerim just out of some selfishness or laziness and an, you know, inability to ascertain the facts. You understand? So therefore, we assume that a tremendous amount of effort and energy was put into ascertaining the truth when these people come and they testify. And the Mishnayos outline how, if it turns out that they're wrong, we pound them with penalties. You know, it's as close as you can get till the end of the world to being the end. Like we, the Mishnah lists off all the mamzerus and all the punishments and asur akulei alma. It's like really serious because they had this giant kula. They balanced it out with giant chumras on the other side. The goal of the Takanos Chachamim, believe it or not, the goal of the Takanos Chachamim was to reach moderation. So if they were mekel in a certain way, so then they try to balance it out with chumras in the other direction. And if they're machmir in a certain way, they try to balance it out with kulas in the other direction. So this is one of those cases where if it turns out that she's wrong and the husband shows up, that's very, very serious business. Right? So again, we're very careful and we assume that this is the truth. Now, that's all fine and good for her, but this aid, why does he have to do a shvuah seidus and bring a carbon shvuah? Why does he have to do any of this if he's the same as the woman? That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's question. So he says, where is it here? The dafke eid echad kosher, luhu eid misa, the shame eid alav. Why is he different and he's shayach to shvuah seidus here? Because he's considered an eid. Daha yachol itzdarif im acher. If technically there would have been another aid there, he could have joined with him. So he says, and Lemaisa, we do accept his testimony. Therefore, Chayev, he is Chayev a Korban Shmuah. Avo b'isha mishum moil edusa l'chud ein chayev es to be kol makom lav shame aid Allah. Even though we accept her word just like we accept his word, it's not the same thing. She's not called an aid and he is called an aid. And therefore, he is chayav a karban shvuah and she's not chayav a karban shvuah. That's the difference. It's the same exact thing, but the shame on the individual makes all the difference. That's how he wants to explain. He says, So just to recap, because I brought in a bunch of other things. Just to recap, Rabbi Akiva Eiger asked the Kasha, he says, how can you say that there's never going to be Yeshua's Eidus by a woman? Just because she's possible Eidus, so what? There is a case where we do accept her, and lest you claim we don't really accept her, Ad Kedei Kach, that she should be Chayav Yeshua's Eidus, substitute an Eid Echad for her. Right? Substitute an Eid Echad for her, and we do make the Eid Echad bring a Dushvus Eidus. So why not her? So the answer is, because when he comes, he's coming Betoras Eidus, and when she can never come Betoras Eidus, because she doesn't have a shame aid upon her. That's how he wants to explain it. And this is very prevalent throughout the Achronim. You could find the Netziv and the Merom Esada says the exact same thing as Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I think at the end he actually quotes Rabbi Akiva Eiger, says the exact same shot. As mentioned, the Shev Shmaitza may or may not be saying the same thing as Rabbi Akiva Eiger, but he certainly says something different. Nafkamina for things that we're not talking about right now in terms of accepting DNA evidence and other types of circumstantial evidence and non-testimony-based heterim that they could give to Agunos if God forbid something like that would ever happen. And in Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger, which I gave you, how much time we got? None. Oh, we have some. 1 second. What's the real time? Okay, we got time. Okay, so I'll finish up in the next couple of minutes. In Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger, did anybody get a chance to read it? It's not the. It's not such a hard read. It's sometimes his tshuvas are. It really depends on the tshuva. Sometimes they're easier to read. Sometimes they're not. So in the tshuva, so if you get a chance, please read the Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger. It's very worthwhile, and you already know what he's going to say mostly, so that also helps. In the Tshuvas Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he writes that let's say there's a case of kibul alav karov opasul. So he says there is no shuvas eidus because same reason these people are not called eidim. A karov opasul does not have a shame eidim eidus alav. He doesn't have a real din eidus. Similar to the woman in this case, right? Masha'ein kain, if you're makabel and eid echad, if you're makabel and eid echad, that guy does have a shame eidus, and therefore you do have to, he would have to swear Shuvas Eidus in such a case. If you're a Makabel also Kibetrei, then you do have, he is called an aid, just happens to be, normally he wouldn't do the trick, here he does do the trick, but he still would be Chayav Shuvas Eidus in such a case. However, Rabbi Akiva Eiger has to be honest, and he says, he quotes that there is a Ran, who quotes Yerushalmi, that disagrees with what he's saying. That the Yerushalmi writes that if there's an Eid Echad and they're Makabel him Kibay Trey, so you might think that he's Chayiv, Talmud Lomar, but who Eid O Ra'a O Yada, Im Lo Yagid Ven Asavo. No, right? Eshe Kosher Lahoid, Eidus Torah, Yatza Echad, Sheino Kosher Lahoid, Adkan, not Adkan Mashon, I was quoting. Okay, so he quotes the Yerushalmi that's against him, but he doesn't completely back out, and he says, I want to differentiate between a case where you accept an Eid Echad as two and you don't accept an Eid Echad as two. You could be Mechalik between them. All right, whatever. You could read what he says. He's got a few other interesting things to say. As well, we find this, I have this on the sheet as well. The Noda Behuda's son has a Haggah to his father's tshuva. And he quotes this Svara from the Proshas Drachim. The Proshas Drachim is the same author as the Mishnah Lamelech. Right, the Proshas Drachim writes that, he says, that's the Lashon, and he quotes that Diuk that we had from Rashi, the Rebbe Akiva Eiger made from Rashi as well, that it's a din of Vuhu Eid, and not, we should have quoted it from the Pasuk of V'im Lo Yagid V'Nasav Ono. We should have quoted it from that Pasuk. That's the real Pasuk of Shavuos Eidus and Karban Shavuot, etc. Right? And yet, he quotes it from the Pasuk of Vuhu Eid, because it's not just totally in whether we will accept your Haggadas Eidus, because the Haggadas Eidus of a woman is also accepted in that case. It's rather totally in the fact of when you make your Haggadah, are you called an aid? Okay, and that's the Iker point that we're trying to flesh out here, that a woman is not called an aid even when she does a Haggadas Eidus that's going to be accepted. So too, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, is the case with Krovim and Psulim, who are in cases where we choose to accept them, they're still not called an aid. And that is going to come to sound very, very similar to what we said in the Ramban, and we'll see in Tosfos about Devorah, right? So in other words, we see that it's not so pashut. Sometimes it makes a difference what your shame is, even though what you do is acceptable. But halakhically, it will make a difference. Again, not always the most practical nafkaminas, but nafkaminas lenin shvosa edus, nafkaminas lenin dayanim, mekabel krovim and psulim, and things like that. It makes a difference, not just whether we accept what you say and do, but who you are when you do it. Yeah. Is there a case where we believe her that she wasn't nogeya?
Yeah.
Maybe. We're going to talk tomorrow. What? Right. Well, so we're going to talk tomorrow about the most practical ramification of all of this is what we call Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurin. Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurin. Anybody ever ate in their homes? Hopefully, I don't know everybody's background, but hopefully everyone has a mother. And no, I mean, unfortunately, from time to time, you meet somebody who doesn't have a mother in the home. But if you have a mother in your home, so I have some bad news for you. Your mother is pasul eidus, right? It's not my... it wouldn't be on me to say it. The Mishnah said it, the Gemara said it, right? Your mother's pasul eidus, and yet, most of what you eat in the home, unless your father's a chef or something, is based on her testifying that what she bought at the store was kosher, and what she cooked in the kitchen was done al pi halacha, and that is seemingly very problematic. If a woman is pasul eidus, how can you ever say eid echad ne'eman b'isurin, and you're going to believe her testimony that all the food is kosher, right? And lest you say, oh, good point, I'm no longer eating. If you look in Tosfos in the beginning of Maseches Gittin, which I don't think I gave you. But you're welcome to look it up. Tosfos on Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurin, he says, what's the whole source in the whole Torah for Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurin? He says, B'Safra La. And we darshan B'Safra La. But when a woman is a Zava Gedola, or more commonly known nowadays as a Nida, right? When a woman is a Nida, so she has to count Zayin Nikiyim. She has to count 7 clean days. So who's the overseer of that particular count? Not the husband, not anybody. She oversees herself. And yet, we believe her to testify that she's been clean for 7 days, she went to the mikvah, she's good to go, and now she's completely tahora. So the source in Kol HaTorah Kula that we trust in Eid Echad when it comes to Isser V'Heter is by a woman. Yet she's Pasul Eidus. So it's a little strange. So we'll have to work on that tomorrow. And Be'ez Hashem also, maybe we'll have time to already start the next topic. Okay. Sure.
Yeah, maybe not so practical, but Nimsa Echad Mehen, instead of carved puzzle, you found out the one that ate him was a woman. Whether or not she's about
Eidus Shabbatim Mitzvah about the Kula. Absolutely. That's what we're going to see. You saw that in the Ravid, right? The Rush quoted the Ravid about Palgin and Dibura.
Yeah.
Palgin and Dibura, so you're not going to say, meaning if you have, we'll get to it tomorrow, but you see that we differentiate between different types of Edim, or when you talk about yourself, are you puzzled to be made on yourself? Mm-hmm. I don't know, what's the answer? Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo, so you're Karov to yourself, but are you puzzled on yourself? If you would be puzzled on yourself, that would be worse.
Okay.
Then we would never be able to say Palgin and Dibura. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
We're never able to say Palgin and Dibura. Well, we can say Palgin and Dibura. Why? Because you're karov to yourself. That's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger said. When it comes to krovim, and he doesn't differentiate between krovim and psulim in there, but he says, let's say a person is karov to himself, so or krovim, so then when you talk, there's no shame edus on that.
Yeah.
It's just nothing. It's nonsense. We hear nothing. And then, when we say, like, what's the classic example of Palgin and Dibura? Ploni Rivani Lertzoni, let's say.
Yeah.
Right? You say, whatever. So then we just hear Ploni Rava somebody, or Ploni Rivani Laonsi, whatever that's, big Tosos in Sanhedrin and elsewhere goes into that. But, okay. So you say, Palgin and Dibura, why do we do it? Because the part that the guy said about himself is meaningless, because he's not allowed to talk about himself. He has no shame edus on himself.
Yeah.
And then the part that he says about somebody else, he does have a shame edus, and therefore we take it seriously.
Yeah.
So, but that's goof of the point. So when a person doesn't have a shame aid, mm-hmm. so we're not going to say either shebat la mitzvah, shebat la kula.
I was talking about when there's a group of three aidim,
right?
Say one of them being possible without the whole kind.
Right.
If the third one's a woman and we say she doesn't have a shame aid, she wouldn't be about to.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. That's the point.
Okay.
So it just be we could treat it just like an eid echad.
Yeah.
So to treat it like an eid echad, as opposed to if they were both kosher eidim and just one was pasul, mm-hmm. so then we're going to be it's going to ruin the whole thing.
Okay, great. And I was, on the last point you said, a little off topic, what if you say that not necessarily, I mean, you believe that she thinks she's buying kosher food, can't you say that just. But I have no reason to believe that she's fully aware of all the hilchos of kashrus.
That's a different story. That's nothing to do with this. That's just, we're assuming that she knows what it means. If a person doesn't know what it means, that's not an issue of nemanis. You could believe that they're telling the absolute truth, they just don't know what they're talking about.
Would you be able to eat at that person's house?
I don't know. You'd have to ascertain that they know what kosher is.
Mm-hmm. Maybe more practical be on Shabbos to like, she's heating up food.
Yeah, I've been many places where people heated up food in a way that there's actually no evidence. It's very hard, by the way, to do it in such a way where there's mamish no day in Rishon of Bisomichon.
If you're Ashkenazi, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, how's it so easy?
You have liquids.
Okay, I mean, there's Ashkenazi Rishonim who say that it's that we say. Yeah, I mean, maker a din, meaning it's just the chumra ba'alma that we're machmir.
So, what do you do?
No, you have to. You know, you could wait till it cools off. You could. Yeah. I mean, not really, but if you eat certain foods that are edible cold,
you have to like cools off.
I think if they do, then maybe it's a problem for the whole Shabbos. No.
That's why it's no longer about once it cools down, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for a double lach, but right. Okay, but then you're not going to eat it anyway. So the reason they heated it up in the first place was
it's never in Mishnah anyway, so it's not
right. So that's no. I was talking about more Shehiyah Chazar problems than real Bishul problems.
Yeah.
It's not so not nearly as common.
No, we're supposed to be safe guys.
Well, what happened?
Wait 2 minutes.
One for one.